the word of the Lord here this morning, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 13. And if you want more information, you can go to victorrh.org, click on the MTC icon there, and the webpage will come up. There's a lot of information there. We have a booth, I believe, in the foyer. You can ask questions there also. Acts chapter 13. We're going to read one verse here, and it's verse 36. And this is a word I believe God gave me this for this time in our ministry. It was Victory Outreach International. So let's read. It says, "For David," somebody say David, "after he had served his own generation," somebody say his own generation, "by the will of God," somebody say will of God, "fell asleep and was buried with his fathers." I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray this morning. Father, once again, we thank you so much, Jesus, for your beautiful presence that's in this place and your anointing that's already flowing through this sanctuary in our hearts, our minds. And Lord, I ask you to help me to articulate your heart, your will, your purpose, your word, Jesus, to your people, Lord God, that you've saved, you've sanctified, you've discipled, you've raised up, and now is the time to answer the call like never before, Jesus. Let none of us leave the same. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a big old hug and say, I'm glad you made it to church this morning. And you can have your seat. Thank you, worship team. You guys are great. You guys got a great worship team. Amazing. Praise the Lord. Here in this portion of scripture, we see in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 36, we see how David was described as a man who served his own generation by God's will for his life. Now, how many know that God has a will for us, and he has a sphere of influence for us, and that's our generation? God wants us to leave the mark of Christ wherever we go in people's lives, whether it's in our family, our neighborhood, our school or workplace, another city, another nation, wherever we go, that we would look for the opportunity to be able to share the love of Christ in people's lives, because there's a great need all over. And those of you that, even right here in Pomona this morning driving in, my goodness, there's a need right here. Amen. As a matter of fact, Pastor, I think we want to help with the drama. If we could, like, maybe help evangelize and come, and we want to be here. It's a tremendous need here, and that's our opportunity to be able to witness to people and to tell them about the love of Jesus. How many love to tell people about Jesus, huh? So we see here the writer is describing David. And we all know David was a man after God's own heart, right? God himself said that about David, that I'm looking for a man after my own heart, and his name is David. So what God was doing was he was making the imprint of who David was, that he had a particular identity. That when you think about David, you think about a man after God's own heart, right? Why? Because God gave him that identity. And that identity is given through the DNA of the person. We all have DNA, okay? Now, we're going to get a little scientific right now for a moment, okay? You guys thought I was a doctor or something, huh? A professor? Don't let the glasses fool you. I come from the home too, amen? David was a man after God's own heart. He had that DNA. That was what identified him with being him. That's your DNA is what identifies you as being you. DNA strands are the carriers of genetics. Genetics are particular genes or traits or characteristics of your life. And genetics are hereditary, meaning that they're able to be passed on. Okay? So If you look at your parents, you probably see a lot of genes or traits that are familiar in your life that your parents had, or maybe your grandparents had. Now, my dad, fortunately, you know, I got some of his genes, and that was, my dad was very shiny on top. I don't know how it happened. I was praying, God, make the miracle happen, miracle grow or something, you know, because... But I tell my wife, she goes, man, you're getting bald. Even my kids say, Dad, you're getting bald. I said, I'm not getting bald. It's the glory of God shining through. Like Moses when he came down off the mountain, right? He had to put a veil. Because it was the glory. My dad, unfortunately, was, you know, he was bald and I got his genes, right? And because they're hereditary. They're able to be passed on. Sometimes you look at, you know, an eye color or a skin color or a hair color or different features of the body. You'll see familiar traits that are passed on from generation to generation. Why? Because of genetics. They're hereditary. They're able to be passed on through the DNA strands. So that's how we're identified as an individual, even as a family member. Right? Even as a ministry in the body of Christ. How many know that Victory Outreach International has a certain DNA that God has established from the very beginning, and it has been passed on. It has been hereditary from our forefathers, our founders, the first generation to the second generation to the generation now. That these genes or these characteristics or these genetics, this DNA has been passed on from leader to leader, from generation to generation, from person to person. What we would call the genetics or the genes today, we would call them as a ministry values or principles or convictions. How many know that Victory Outreach has certain values that identifies it to be Victory Outreach? We are a part of the body, the overall body of the Christ. Christ is the head, right? And we are a member, and we have a function within the body of Christ. I mean, this is, you know, this is just my opinion right here, but I believe we're the arm. We're the arm that reaches into the pits of human pain and suffering. And to the pit of darkness, and into the pit of Hades and hell, into the pit and to the neighborhoods of the inner cities of the world, and reaches down and snatches the treasures out of darkness. Victory Outreach has a certain DNA that we've seen from generation to generation that was established in our founders, that was established in the first generation, to the second generation, and to us here today. How many can say amen? Here's a poem that truly identifies one of our late elders, Pastor Ed Morales. And how many know, you know, how many knew him before, right? How many have heard of him or seen some of his preachings? But he exemplified loyalty like never before. Those of you that knew him. And this is a poem that he wrote. And I believe it tells him like he truly was. And it shows the DNA, some of the traits of our ministry. Loyalty Makes a Person Attractive by Pastor Ed Morales. It says this: when I die, bury me deep with the Victory Outreach banner of loyalty at my feet. Place loyalty across my chest to honor the ministry and my pastor, whom I love the best. And tell the world, tell my homies, tell my brothers in Europe, tell my brothers in Africa, tell my brothers in Asia, tell my brothers in South America, tell my brothers in Mexico, and tell my brothers in the United States that I was loyal till the end. Give God a great praise here this morning, because loyalty is a great trait to have. And Pastor Ed exemplified loyalty in our first generation. And that has been passed on from generation to generation. And there's many. I could be up here all day and describing our founders, Pastor Sonny, Sister Julie, our some of our other late elders, Pastor Steve or Pastor David, and some of our elders now that are still with us here today, and some of our great leaders that are all over the world. I could be here all day describing the beautiful DNA that our ministry has. But I want to focus on a couple of, I think, key components of the genetics that have been passed on that this now generation must possess and live out in our lives to see the great revival that God wants to bring to the inner cities of the world. Do you believe that there's going to be an end time revival? Well, you're in the right place. So the DNA of the third wave has been hereditary since the first generation, like I said, and the second. The first generation, I want to bring out a character in the Bible that exemplifies our first generation, and his name was Moses. We all know Moses, right? Moses, his name literally means this, a drawing out of water. Now, we all know the story that when he was born, his parents hid him in the house, because the Pharaoh at that time had declared and decreed to kill all the male children that was 2 years and younger, because he had heard of a liberator or a deliverer that had been born in the land that was going to come against Egypt and deliver the people. So he had commanded everybody that had a male son in the Hebrew and all the slaves to kill them. So his parents hid him for 3 months until the child was too loud and they couldn't hide him no more. They were going to risk his life. So his mother, the Bible says, his mother seen that the child, there was something good and something different about him. So she released him. She built a little ark, right? Built a little ark and put it into the Nile River and trusted that God and his plan would come to pass. And she released him into the very river that they were actually throwing the other little boy babies into and killing them. They would catch the little babies and they would throw them into the Nile River because it was a sacrifice to the god of the Nile. So she released him right into the very thing that was killing everybody else. You talk about faith. You talk about a trust that's unbreakable between her and God. Hello, somebody. And the little baby floated down the Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter seen the little ark floating, and she had her maidservants go and draw the baby out of the water. And that's where he got his name, was Moses, that he was drawn out of the water. He was drawn out of the Nile. And he grew up in Pharaoh's house, as we all know the story, right? But how many know that when God has a plan for your life, that it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, he can't stop God's plan. He can't stop God's plan. I don't care in what position he thinks he's in. I don't care what influence he thinks he has. I don't care what power he thinks he can operate in. When God has a plan for your life, I don't care what the devil throws at you, it will not come to pass, because no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us shall be silenced. That's the inheritance of the children of God. That's your inheritance. You can claim that over your life, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's going to form, but it ain't going to prosper. It's going to come against you, but it ain't going to overtake you. It's going to show its ugly face on the horizon, but it ain't going to get you down, because God is faithful to his word and to his promises. Some of you might be getting attacked today.
Some of you might be going through it today. Some of you might, the devil might be poking his ugly old head over the horizon and telling you there ain't no hope for your future. You ain't going to change. You ain't going to amount to nothing. I'm going to keep your children bound. Your marriage ain't going to make it. Your finances are, you're going to always be broke. The devil's a liar this morning. I'm telling you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. Moses was drawn out because God had a plan for his life. Just like he does for us here today. The only one that can stop that plan is the man or the woman that refuses to trust God or follow God. The devil can't stop it. Man can't stop it. People can't stop it. Circumstances can't stop it. The only one that can stop it is you and I refusing to say yes to Jesus. And you never know what your yes will do in this world. You never know. I look back 18 years ago when I came into the home. Just a hope to die dofing. No hope, no reason to live. I came in, and I was just going to stay my 2 weeks, get clean, get sober. They told me they would give me some new clothes, because I came in with a backpack, with a, I don't even think I had a clean pair of clothes. I had a dirty, some dirty jeans. Hello. Some dirty, a dirty shirt. I didn't have nothing, because I'd done burnt everything, smoked everything, shot everything, whatever, like, I didn't have nothing when I came into the home. I didn't have my dignity. I didn't have no hope. I didn't have no reason to even live no more, to even try anymore. I had nothing. I was just going to come in for 2 weeks, get some food in my stomach, get these new clothes that they promised me. And I was in Northern California. I was going to go back to Texas where I was born. Well, that 2 weeks turned into 18 years. I still ain't left the home. And by God's grace and by God's calling, straight out of the home, hello somebody, went to the Philippines, went to Indonesia, pioneering a church there along with Pastor Chucky and the other missionaries, coming back, going to South Africa, ended up pioneering different churches out there, and that's where my wife fell madly in love with me. She forgot to mention that too, amen. She was a missionary from Rotterdam and said, who is this good-looking white boy here in Africa? God putting us together, getting married, having one kid in Holland, having one kid in Africa, having one kid here in America, pioneering churches, making an impact, training missionaries, sending them out. You never know what your yes can do in this world. You never know. You never know. If you would have told me 18 years ago in one day, the day before I come into that men's home, that I would be doing what I'm doing today, I would say, you are hallucinating. Give me some of that dope, because that's some good stuff that you can even imagine that. But how many know that God's plan is bigger than our plan? We got a little bitty plan. God's got a monster-sized plan. See, Moses, when he grew up, and God called him to go back into Egypt, he had the faith that our founders had in the beginning. Faith of leadership. Faith that would believe God for the impossible. Can you imagine just him and Aaron going and showing up on Pharaoh's door, knocking, hey, the great I am told me to tell you to let my people go. Doing something that was impossible. Doing something that had never been done before. Because if anybody had attempted that, they would have got killed immediately and never done it again. It reminds me of the faith of our founders in the beginning. That they were doing the impossible. Starting a ministry for drug addicts when the whole slogan of society was there was no hope for the addict. Because once you started using heroin, you would die using heroin. Because once a junkie, always a junkie. There was no hope for the dysfunctional family that had addicts in it. There was no hope for the men and women that were addicted to drugs. What are you talking about? Building a ministry with a bunch of dope fiends and gangsters? Hello, somebody. What are you talking about? Doing something that had never been done before. The faith of leadership. To believe God for the impossible. To become like a pace setter in life. To become a pace setter in society. To become a pace setter in the body of Christ. It reminds me also of a few years prior to 1967 when Pastor Sonny was starting the ministry. But a few years prior, in 1954, we read about a man by the name of Roger Bannister. He was the man that broke the 4-minute mile. Because for all time, it had never been done before that a man would run faster than 4 minutes in the distance of a mile. Even the professionals, the psychiatrists, the doctors, the physicians, all the professional people of the day, they said it could never be done. It was impossible. A man's body can't run that fast. You can't do it. You can get close, but you just can't do it. Until one day. One day, my friend, when one man said, I'm going to push away the criticism of the professionals. I'm going to push away the boundaries and the limitations of all the opinions of people that think they cannot do it. I'm going to push away and break the ceiling open. I'm going to break the limits out, and I'm going to do what has never been done before. I'm going to run a 4-minute mile faster than it had ever been ran before. And he did it. 1954, he did it. 3 minutes and 59 seconds and so many tenths of a second. He broke the barrier. He broke the record. He did what the professional said could never be done. And you know what's ironic? It's just, I think, a couple weeks, another man did it. There was another runner that did it. It was one of his running partners. And then a couple days later, another one did it. And another one did it. And another one did it. Until today, there's been thousands of men that have broken the 4-minute mile because of one man that believed there was no limits, that the impossible could be achieved. It reminds me in 1967, when there was a young man by the name of Sonny Argonzoni and Julie Argonzoni, they started the ministry of Victory Temple. Hello, somebody. That became Victory Outreach. And they broke through the limitations that a church could be built of addicts and their families and gangsters. But not just one church, my friend. We're not just some little church in East LA on Glass Street anymore. Because another church was built. And another church was built. And another church was built. And another state was gone to. And another state was gone to. And another city was gone to. And then all of a sudden, people began to believe God. We're not just going to reach America. We're going to reach Mexico and Europe and Asia and Africa and Australia. And now, 52 years later, we are all over the world. Give God a great praise. He didn't listen to the limitations. He didn't look at the barriers. He looked at his God and said, God, if you did it for me, you can do it for them too. Give God a great praise. Look to your neighbor and say, there's nothing impossible for God. The faith of leadership, a trait of DNA. That has been passed on from generation to generation. You know what I believe that their attitude was? Even in the Moses generation, when they got set free, delivered. When we look at our first generation, set free, delivered. They were grateful. Grateful to be free. Grateful to be following God and His direction, His purpose for their life. Because of the lifestyle they lived, they had no purpose. They had no life. They were grateful. We can't lose that gratefulness here today. And it doesn't matter if you never came out of drugs or heavy addiction. Because God brought them out of heavy addiction. Just like He drew Moses out of the water, He drew that first generation out of heavy addiction. Heavy gangs. Heavy violence. Heavy, some heavy stuff. But maybe you're sitting here today and say, you know, I didn't come from that lifestyle. Well, that's okay. Because neither did my wife. She never did drugs, drank, smoked, never did nothing. I know she don't, you know, she looks all, you know, like an angel. You know, like we heard in Richmond, you know. Hey, that one brother, he reminded me of myself. He's, you know how I say forgiveness? Hey, babe, kiss it, kiss it, kiss it. When I start doing that, she knows, okay, here comes the forgiveness. Here comes the apology. She never did nothing. I mean, she might have, you know, chewed some gum and spit on the sidewalk, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, not like me. I mean, all is bad. We come from two different worlds here. Two different worlds. I mean, she never even broke a plate. Nothing. Until we got married and she broke it over my head. I'm joking. No, I'm not. But they were grateful. And you might be saying here today, I didn't come from all that madness. I didn't come. I was a good person. I had it together. I was going to school. I was going to college. I was working my 9-to-5 job. But did you know that without Jesus, you were going to the same hell I was going to without Jesus? God saved us all out of darkness. God saved us all out of madness. We might not experience the madness here in this world. Oh, but in eternity without Jesus, you talk about some madness. So we all ought to be grateful. No matter what you come from. Especially even now today, even the more. Never lose your gratefulness for God's salvation upon your life. And for God including us in His great plan. In His great purpose of reaching the world. Because sometimes we can get a little ungrateful. We can take for granted our salvation. Because we look at the first generation and they come out of heavy stuff. But we were all going to the same place without Jesus. So Moses passed on that faith to the next generation, the Joshua generation. Just as Pastor Sonny and our pioneers, our elders, have passed on the faith of leadership to our Joshua generation. Joshua literally means this, that Jehovah saves, whose help is God to be victorious. And that's what we've seen with Joshua and that generation that came out of Egypt and that generation that their children was raised up. And they got to the point where it was time to enter into the promised land that God had promised them. And they came to the Jordan, and they looked at it. It was at flood stages, an impossible situation to cross. They could not cross it without the help of God. But as they applied the faith of their leaders, their forefathers, and they believed God for His promises, and they said, God promised us that land. God promised us that. We're going to step into the river And we're going to believe God and walk in God's obedience and God's promise for our life. And as they stepped into the river, we know the story. It began to part and they began to walk on dry ground. And then they began to march into the promised land. And they began to take city after city after city after city. See, Joshua generation, that's what they represent. They represent the next half of the promise. The Moses generation, they experienced God going before them, leveling the mountain, making the crooked places straight, shattering the gates of bronze, cutting through the bars of iron, giving them the treasures out of darkness, the hidden riches and secret places, that they would know it is God who called them by name, the God of Israel. And then all of a sudden, another generation that has been passed on the DNA of faith, saying, it's our time now, and we're going to walk in the promise of God also. We're going to walk in obedience to God. We're going to cross some rivers. We're going to take some cities. We're going to see the expansion take place of our tent curtain being stretched to the right and to the left, our cords being lengthened, our stakes being strengthened. We're going to see desolate cities possessed. We're going to see the nations inherited. We're going to see expansion take place. The Joshua generation, they seen expansion like never before take place. They believed God to cross some rivers and to take some cities. That's why we're even here in Pomona today. Because of people believing God, Pomona, for Jesus. We're believing God for Chino for Jesus. We're believing God for LA for Jesus. We're believing God for every inner city for Jesus. We're believing God for the expansion to take place. It was happening. People began to catch it. And it was passed on. It was transmitted to them. They're saying, if God did it for Pastor Sonny, and God did it for Pastor Steve, God did it for Pastor Ed, God did it for Pastor David, God did it for all these great men and women of God, then God can do it for me. And I have a place in this vision. And I too want to cross some rivers and take some cities. And that's why we see our ministry in 34 different countries around the world. Like our sister was mentioning, in 6 different continents. We would be in 7, but there's no people in Antarctica, only penguins. But if there was some people, we would be in Antarctica too, my friend. We are all over the world, my friend. We are all over the world because of a generation that believed God for expansion. But how many know that there's still a lot of work to be done? We ain't arrived yet. Just like Pastor Sonny says all the time, we're barely scratching the surface, my friend. There's still more cities that Victory Outreach needs to be planted in. There's still more countries that Victory Outreach needs to inherit. There's still more people to be reached in this world. That's why it is important to be a United We Can member. To be a faithful, committed, and consistent one. Because you literally see your monies at work. When you travel to these different places and you see how what God's doing here in America, God is doing in Africa and Asia and Australia and all these different places, Europe and all these different places all over the world. But not only just give our finances, but also help prepare people. Help prepare people, disciple people, get people ready to go. You might not be the one that's going, but you can help prepare somebody to go. You can envision them and disciple them and get them ready to go, because there will be some that God calls to go. Not everybody. Because if that was the case, then Pastor Rob would have an empty room here. Because everybody's gone. Everybody's been sent out. He wouldn't be able to preach to nobody or pastor nobody. Everybody's gone. But there is some. There is some that will go. Geographically go to other parts of the world and preach this gospel. Whether it's short term, long term, whatever it may be, whether it's like being an ambassador, they're giving their lives to this. They've let go of everything and said, you know what? The call of God is upon my life to go. My comfort doesn't mean nothing. My city doesn't mean nothing. You know, everything that I know that's familiar doesn't mean, but I want to answer the call of God upon my life because God's called me to the nations to go reach people. Some of you might be like that. You never know. Joshua generation represents expansion, crossing rivers and taking cities, possessing desolate cities. I believe their attitude was this. I'm seeing precisely what could be and what should be because of the vision. They caught the vision and they ran with it. And we've seen a whole influx of inner cities coming to Jesus, churches being built and established all over the world. But now we have a third generation. We have a generation now that I believe God has raised up and is now in operation. It's not that we're waiting for the third wave to come. The third wave is here. It's now. Listen. See, the third wave is not so much of an age thing. But there is an emphasis on the young people rising up and answering the call. But it's all inclusive because it's a move of God. It's an attitude in our ministry. It's a mindset in our ministry. It's a state of spirit within the movement of Victory Outreach International that there's a third wave that has risen up. It's a move of God that's taking place now. And we hear it from our founders. We hear it from our pastors. It's not the time is now. No. Now is the time. Because it's here. It's on us. It's upon us. It's a move of God that's taking place within the ministry of Victory Outreach International. We're all included in it. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. I don't care if you're single, married, or a single parent. But you're included in this move of God of Victory Outreach International. And yes, the young people got to catch it. And they got to run with this thing. And they got to rise up because they're going to outlast us. Hello, somebody. They're going to outlast like our parents' generation. They're going to have another 30, 40 more years or, you know, until the Lord tarries or whatever. That's why there's an emphasis on young people because they're going to last longer. In this vision, we have to catch it, though, all of us. We have to catch the spirit of it. And we're included in this. We have a role to play. Now's the time to lock arms with our pastors, with our regionals, with our multi-regionals, with our elders, with our founders. Now's the time to lock arms with our leadership. And say, I'm in this with you, Pastor. Whatever role that I play, either in preparing people to go, or giving towards with my resources and finances, or me going myself, whatever it is, it's the time is now. It's upon us now to lock arms and to pursue this vision, pursue the inner cities, pursue the lost, pursue what God has called us to do. It's upon us now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. That's why Jesus told us, says, don't look upon the fields and say, it's going to be ready in 4 months. No. Now's the time. Pray ye to the Lord of hearts to send out laborers into his harvest field. Who's those laborers? They're every single one of us. Every single one of us. Because God has given us all a role to play. He's given us gifts, abilities. He's given us faith. He's given us everything that we need to be successful in the call of God upon our life. You have it inside of you. It's there. Some of us maybe need to wake it up. Maybe some of us need to get up. Maybe some of us just need to step out by faith. Maybe some of us need to just, you know, quit looking at the storm or the limitations and just put your eyes on Christ and say, if God did it for my forefathers, if God did it for my founders, if God did it for my pastors, God can do it for me and my family here today. We can take a city. We can do what God's called us to do. We can make an impact. We can impact the inner cities of the world. Because now is the time. And that's what I see in this man called Caleb. That means wholehearted, capable of doing, which I believe that represents the third generation. Because it was a combination of the first and the second. See, we can never get away and say, oh, the third wave is just, you know, we're going to do our own thing now. No, no, no. It's a combination of the first wave, the faith of our forefathers. It's a combination of the second wave, the Joshua generation, that says, I'm going to cross some rivers and take some cities. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. That's what Caleb did. You know what he did? He said, after we've been fighting in the promised land for 45 years, he says, you know what? Everybody else has got their land. That family, that tribe has got their promise, and we fought together in it. That family there has got their promise, and we fought together to obtain it. That tribe over there has got their promise in their land. We fought together to obtain it. But you know what, Joshua? Moses gave me a promise too, and he says, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Give me what God promised me. See, that's what this now generation has to have. This third wave has to have the spirit of Caleb and saying, I'm included in this move of God. Give me my mountain. Give me my city. Give me my nation. Give me my promise that God has for me. He says, I want Hebron. That was the land of the giants. That was what nobody else wanted. Nobody else wanted Hebron. Because it was filled with giants. It was filled with the nation of Anakim. Nobody else thought they could get it. But Caleb, who had a different spirit, who had the faith of his forefathers, who had the expansion burning inside of him, saying, we crossed over some rivers, we've taken some cities, and now I want my mountain. Give me what nobody else wants. Give me Hebron. Give me the nation of the giants, because I know who God is. I know God did it before. God is able to do it today. God is able to give us Ohio. God is able to give us Africa. God is able to give us Thailand. God is able to give us this entire world. I want the worship team to come on up. It's a spirit that's saying, I want what God had promised us. Because it's not going to stop with me. It's not going to stop with my generation. This vision, there's been too much price that's been paid. Jesus paid the ultimate price. But there's been a lot of men and women that have paid a price to see this ministry become what it is today. A worldwide movement. There's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And there has been. There has been actually people that have died for this vision. There has been. In different parts of the world. They've literally died for it. There's been a price that has been paid to not just play church, to really fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Because we're living in the end times. That's why there's such an urgency. We see it in the Word of God. The signs are there. We see different things coming to pass. That Jesus says, you'll see the signs in the end times. My coming is near. The end is near. And as God gets closer to coming back, His anointing is going to be poured out even more. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, young and old alike. Slave and maidservant alike. People that will receive the anointing of God to make an impact in this end time. He wants to pour it on us. A fresh fire. A fresh anointing. Fresh power. And it's not just something that a facade of, oh yeah, it's not for me, but it's for that super Christian over there. No, 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 no. We heard it. God's calling ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I want you to bow your head with me here today. There's something significant about the third generation. We see it. Also, when God mentions his covenant, his promise, he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if we look at those three generations, Abraham also, the father of faith, displayed faith to the generation. He had the promise, which was Isaac. He produced the promise. Isaac produced two sons, Esau and Jacob, which Jacob grew up and was the inheritor of the promise and the inheritance of God. And we see on that third generation, after Abraham produced one, the promise produced two, but that third generation produced the 12 sons of Israel, which became the nation of Israel. There was an exponential growth that took place on that third generation. Abraham produced one. Isaac produced two. But Jacob, the third generation, produced 12. There's going to be a supernatural growth that takes place in our ministry in this now generation. This third wave anointing. It's not an ordinary anointing. It's a combination of the first and the second. That's why it's going to hit so hard. And it's going to be so big. And it's going to reach out so far. We ain't seen nothing yet. There's more cities, more nations, more people. Exponential growth. But God's saying, who's going to believe for an exponential anointing? I want you to just stay seated with your eyes closed. I want to just sing a song. Just sing a song right now. Just sing a song. Just sing a song.